I'm reading today from Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing? Well, today we're talking about go, right? We've had the love, grow, go. That is our mission statement. So I want to talk about the go today. And so today I'm going to tell you three things. Number one, you have a mission. Number two, the mission and the calling is for every believer. And then number three, you are fully equipped with the authority of Christ. So, now have you ever done something and you're like, what is the point, right? My daughter, I remember when she was probably five, we have this gorgeous park by our house and it's about 3.5 miles all the way around. And we're going out, we're going to spend time with our family and we're going to, you know, hang out and get some exercise, right? Well, as a little five-year-old, she doesn't realize that's what the purpose is, right? She's going and walking, she's like, this is pointless. We're just going in circles. So hard. Why are we doing this? I think a lot of times as believers, we are in that place where my daughter is a lot of times. What are we doing? Why are we doing this? This is pointless. We're just going in circles. Well, today I want to encourage you that there is a purpose to what we're doing. And I believe that the purpose is much larger than we understand. So I want to kind of point our eyes towards our purpose and our mission once again. Especially at the beginning of the year, I always like to put forth resolutions. I know a lot of people don't, but I do. I think it's so important to give yourself a direction, right? Because if you don't have a direction, you're going to go nowhere. You're just going to be going in circles and have no idea where you're going. So putting this before you and giving you a sense of direction on where we're going and your purpose and your calling as a Christian believer, as well as being a part of grace. So now the world says the mission of a believer, right? It's time a lot of people that don't go to church, or maybe I toy around with the idea of church, their idea of what our mission is incorrect. You'll hear a non-Christian say, well, you can be a good person and the Bible teaches you good morals. That's why you go to church, right? You hear that a lot of times. And that might be a portion of it. The other thing is people say, well, you go to church to meet nice people. That'd be a portion of it, right? Or if you go to church, it's going to help you live a happy life. I've heard this so many different ways. People are like, well, that's nice that you go to church. But it's so much more than that. So much more than that. We're missing the point. So what does Jesus say our mission is? So Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the ages. So verse 19 says, go and make disciples, right? That is our mission. Go and make disciples of who? Of all nations. And what are we doing when we make disciples of them, right? We're going to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then we're going to what? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So we're to make disciples that what? Make disciples. Because the command from Jesus is to go and make disciples. So those disciples are supposed to make disciples. We're also supposed to do all that Jesus commanded them to do, which is what? Love God and love others, especially your enemies. But don't forget the last command, make disciples. This isn't a request. Like if you feel like it, go make disciples. It is commanded, go make disciples. So some may say that Jesus only gave this command to the 12. I've heard this before. Well, he just told the disciples to do this. And he only empowered the disciples and gave them authority to tread on snakes and do all that, you know, give them all the power. But it's not for us today. Well, they're missing what Jesus said, right? He told them to make disciples. He told them to multiply themselves. Therefore, whoever they make disciples has the same authority that was given to them. So when everybody says that, be like, no. It was for all of us. It was for all of us. The other thing I want to point out is this. Jesus says, go into all of the nations. Now, remember, when he said this to the disciples, this was very much out of their mindset, right? Jesus came for the Jews. He was the Jewish Messiah. So they're like, wait a minute, what do you mean? You came to be our Messiah. And Jesus is like, no. You're only getting a portion of the plan here. All nations, everybody. Jesus was their Messiah. And he completed the mission that he was supposed to do, right? And then he is put onto them part two. Right? He died for our sins. He came and he did what he was supposed to do. And he goes, now this is your job as he ascended into heaven. Now, Jesus means everybody. 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 And this is where it gets caught. I think people are like, well, you're called to be a pastor. You're called to reach people. Well, yes, there is people who are called to be pastors and leadership and all that. But we are all called to make disciples. All of us, every single person. And this is why missions are so important, right? Because it's a global thing, the whole world. Missions are very important. And I love that Freedom Sunday is coming up, you know, and this helps us start to think outside of our little world, our little community. And in our context, there's lots of ways that you can get involved directly with world missions. From your own home, you don't have to go on a mission trip. You don't have to do anything. You can support financially. You can donate things. There's all kinds of ways that you can participate in reaching the world. Everybody is called. Every one of us should have some outreach of something that we do, whether it's taking care of a child somehow, supporting seed somehow, supporting some sort of freedom. Every single person should have some sort of world mission in your mind. Everyone should. Even if it's a $10 a month gift, whatever it is, God will use that and multiply that. But the better part is that God is going to do a work in your life because it's going to open your mind to more of what you're called to do. Because the Christian walk is not about me. It's about everyone. It's so much bigger than ourselves. Like Seed, the Wonders Project, what an amazing, amazing way to be able to reach people. Reach these girls and help them be able to live a safe life so that they can get educated, so that they can, it changes generations. It's a generational change. That these girls might not get caught up in sexual slavery or be stuck at home and not have any way to fend for themselves or make money. I mean, so then their children is going to have a better chance and their children is going to have a better chance. That's why it's so important. These things, it might be, oh, I only can give $10. If that's all you can give, then that is enough. That is enough. And there's a multitude of other ways that you can participate. The Free Methodists are wonderful about that. And there's so many ways you can get involved. And if you have questions on how you can get involved, I'm sure we'll present some stuff on the next Sunday. And then also, we always have information back at the welcome table that you can get involved in some way. I encourage you to do that. God is going to use it so many more ways in your life. The other way is you can go on a mission trip yourself, which is a really cool way to go and see the world. Go and see God moving in other countries. Get to see how they live. It just opens your mind so much more. We don't realize. We think we are like really involved in areas. I was even looking back at my house, and I'm like, you know, I go to work. And then I go to this grocery store and I go to this gas station. My world is very small. It's small. It's tiny, you know, and I'm a very active person, but it's very small. And I think when we're involved in world missions and we go on mission trips, we do things, it opens our mind and our hearts to something so much greater. It gives us ideas when we come back here to go, oh, we could do that here. When I went to Africa, I saw God move in powerful ways that encouraged me to come back and go, man, I'd really like to bring that home. There's all kinds of things that God did just going on a mission trip. So I encourage you, if you're able, to go ahead and do that. And I'm sure we'll have some of those coming up in the next year, couple years. And the other thing is every single person. So no matter the race, no matter the disability, no matter the financial status, God has called you. God has called you. God has called us to make disciples out of the people from the cut. God has called, not just churchgoers, not just, you know, God's called us to make disciples. God has called us to make disciples out of the people of Trump Towers. God has called us to make disciples out of the people that attend George Middle School. God has called us to make disciples out of our families. God has called us to make disciples out of the people we work with. And remember, not just church attenders, disciples, which is a person who, what? We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then we teach them to obey Jesus by teaching them to love God and love others. Then teaching them to go and make disciples. That's the process. And I think, love, grow, go. That's exactly it. That's the process. Now, this is where I think the church as a whole has gone wrong. We've forgotten our mission's purpose. They're still on a mission, but I think they've forgotten the purpose of that mission. You can be on a mission and have no purpose, right? Just be really, really busy doing going nowhere. You know, I probably am guilty of this a lot of times. If I don't have my directions out, I just stay busy doing all kinds of stuff. And I think that's where the church as a whole has gone wrong. They're very, very busy doing nothing. Very, very busy doing nothing. Now, so when we talk about mission or the word go, we ask two things. Where are we going? And why are we going? So the where is go and make disciples of all nations, right? That's where we're going. Everywhere. Everywhere. We establish that we pursue everybody. And I feel like I say this, and I feel like even in your heart, you're like, well, not me. I have this and that and this, and so I can't. And I've done this in my own life. Man, I have a criminal history and I have this. There's no way. God can't use me. I've made too many mistakes. You know, you might have a disability. I'm blind. I can't. No. God will use the very thing that you think impedes you to glorify his name. He will use your blindness to reach people. Amen. He will turn that thing around. The thing that you think is a thing that prevents you, he's going to use that thing to bring him glory. He's used my nasty, horrible mistakes, and he's used that more than anything in my life. So don't think, well, that thing is going to prevent you. That's the thing, the avenue he will use. So many of you will say the right answer a lot of times is why we're doing this, is to see people saved and brought to wholeness, which is part of the answer, right? Is to see people saved and brought to wholeness. Sometimes we've had our lives changed and transformed, and we keep it to ourselves, which is horrible. That's just absolutely horrible. We have a world that's just dying and suffering and is living in awfulness, and we have the answer, and we're not sharing it. Because we're afraid of persecution or whatever, all kinds of reasons. But we're called to share that. Amen. That's only the part, though. The others might say, well, we go tell people to come to church so we can have more people in church. And I think the church as a whole, that's their mission, is to have more people in church. Right? Yeah. Now, that might be a part of the mission, but that's not the mission. That's helping the mission, right? You invite people to church for what reason? So they can come and celebrate together what God has done all through the week, right? And what's the other thing? We come and we get to what? Love one another and encourage one another and learn about Christ so that we can what? Go. Right? It's not to bring people to church. That's a part of the plan. That's not the total plan. Don't hear me incorrectly, because a lot of people think, well, I don't need the church to be a Christian. No, you do. You have to be a part of the body of Christ in order to be able to go out there. Can you imagine going fighting a war all by yourself? You wouldn't make it very far. You'd get killed right away. We need each other so much. And if COVID has taught us anything, it's our desperate need of one another. Our desperate need of one another. So we have to be a part of the body of Christ in order to be able to reach other people and to live the lives that God has called us to live. So don't hear that I'm not saying don't go to church, because that's not what I'm saying. So this idea that we have people, we go and get people to come to church, is the incorrect mission, because we fill the people with church who are there for themselves. I come to church so I can be happy, so I can live a better life, so that I look good to my neighbors, right? That's what happens so easily. Easily. It sneaks in really quick, like, all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, why am I here? What am I doing? We didn't get saved so we can be better consumers. And I think this is why America struggles so hard, because we're a consumer society. It's so hard for us to break out of that mentality. We're not just here to consume. We're here to reproduce. Yes, and help each other along. Can't do this alone. We are not meant to be alone. You ever see somebody who, a person who lives on an island all by themselves, what happens? They get really weird. They're like cat. They start talking to volleyballs. They get weird. You get weird. You have to have people around you that go, hey, that's weird. Don't do that. That's what the body of Christ is for. You know, have you noticed COVID? People have gotten a little weirder because they've been at home. No one's saying, that's kind of weird. Don't do that. It is. It's not good. It's not good. We don't pick on other people's social cues, all that kind of stuff. Well, that happens within the church. We pick up on other people's righteousness. We gather together and we become filled with the Spirit, and we go out and we'll be able to go and multiply. Now, the most amazing part of our mission, the purpose of our mission, is to see the return of Christ. See the return of Christ, to be with him and all the world united in love, made completely whole again, as we're fully engulfed by the presence of God. That is the purpose of our mission. That's the purpose of our mission. That's what we forget. If we go and do our job, guess what happens? Christ gets to come back faster. The world can be saved. We can come and we could be with our Jesus. If I don't know about you, but I want to be with my Jesus. Amen. I want to be made whole again. I want all the suffering in this world to be gone. Amen. I want to be able to just sit in his presence every second of every day, completely engulfed by who he is. That is our purpose. If we get up and go do our job, that can happen faster. Because 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. But he is patient with you and waiting, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is not delaying, not because he forgot or he just wants us to suffer. It's because he wants none to perish. None. Now, he doesn't want a single person to perish. So if you've given up on that person in your that you've been praying for, and you've just given up, you're like, no, God just doesn't want them to be saved. It's just not for them. He says none. He wants none to perish. None. Not one. Not a single one. Just like that song we sang, the 99. He'll leave the 99 to go get that one. He doesn't want one to perish. He wants every single person to find wholeness in himself. So if we go do our job, we can hurry him along. We can get back. We can get to him and be in his presence. Now, if this doesn't motivate you to get going, you might want to check your heart. I remember when I was a teenager, my mom and dad would talk about the return of Christ, and I would just be like, but I want to live. I want to do these things. I don't want God to come back. And I think a lot of people, hey, I have life to live. I have things I want to do before Christ comes back. I don't know about you, but man, this world is nasty. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go be with him. And if that's not a part of your heart, then I encourage you when we pray tonight that you come forward and say, God, what's going on? What's wrong in my heart that I don't desire for you to come back? That I don't desire to be with you right this second? I encourage you to come forward and ask for prayer for that. Now, 1 Peter 3:15 through 16 says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against you, your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander. So revere Christ as Lord. So living a holy life by spending, and I love this, Rob Roy said this, extravagant time with Jesus. Extravagant time with Jesus. So that your very being radiates the essence of Jesus. So that people will ask you why you have such a hope. You got to ask yourself, are you living a life that is so filled with the presence of Jesus that people come and ask you, well, what's going on with you? Why do you have such a hope? They look at your circumstances and go, man, you shouldn't be the way you are, but you are. You have hope. Why? And you get to what? Share the gospel with them.
That's right.
You get to share the gospel with them because you're what? Spending an extravagant amount of time with Jesus. You know, I spend an extravagant amount of time doing other things that I probably shouldn't be doing. Sometimes I spend an extravagant amount of time watching Netflix. You know? It's harmless, but you know, I could be spending that extravagant time with Jesus. I want to be like Moses, and he spends the time with Jesus, and he comes down, and his face is like shiny. People are like, put a cover on that, man. That's intense. How awesome would that be? That convicts my heart, man. I need to be spending more time with Jesus so that people ask me, why do I have such a hope? Why do I have such a hope? Now, I want to give you some practical ways that you can immediately participate in loving others by meeting their needs. We can share the gospel all you want, but if somebody's hungry, all they're going to be thinking about is what? They're hungry, right? They can't think about anything else, but they're hungry or they're cold, right? So what is the best way we can share the gospel and share God's love is what? Meeting their needs. I think a lot of people are waiting for the government to fill people's needs. It's not the government's job. It's the church's job. We're called to meet people's needs. Every single person here can help somebody else. And when I went to Africa, I noticed that and I thought it was the coolest thing. They would just, this kid that's like running around the streets, they would just snatch him up and just adopt him. They would just become part of their family. If there was somebody in need, they would help out. And these people are all in need, every one of them. But if you had something, you're sharing it with somebody else. It didn't matter what. And we, I think so often, even when we're poor and we don't have a lot of money, we still can help others. We still can help someone else. We have been so blessed in this country. We have so much more. We can help others. Some of these practical ways that we have here at Grace that you can participate in are, A, the food pantry. There's ways you can be helping there. The clothes closet, donating clothes. We donate clothes to people. You feed the homeless in the cut. Just go out and feed the homeless. Go out and give somebody a meal. Be there and show the love of Christ. Treat somebody like a human being. I remember when I was homeless and I was an addict on the street, to be treated as a human being was powerful. Didn't happen very often. But when somebody looked at me in the eyes, because I was like looking down because you have so much shame, looked me in the eyes and just shared kindness with me, that stuck with me. Even in my drug-filled haze, that stuck with me. So we need to be that for those people. We need to be that glimpse of light for those people. And I like Reckless Love says, God chases us after us. He doesn't matter what mountain to climb, walls to break down. right? His love chases us like that. Well, what kind of love are we called to have? God's love. Same kind of love, right? To kick down walls, climb mountains. Nothing should prevent us from loving others. We should have reckless love for the people in the cut. We should have reckless love for the Trump Towers. We should have reckless love for George Middle School. We should have reckless love for our families. We should have reckless love for our communities. People are like, well, it's hard to love them. Love is hard. Love is hard. It's sacrificial. If it wasn't hard, it would mean nothing. It is hard to love others. But God has given us everything that we need to do that. So now we have discussed that our mission is what? To go into all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them to love God and love others and to make disciples. Right? Amen. And then who is called? Everyone is called to be a disciple maker. We also discussed our mission's purpose is what? To see people find Christ, to have their lives transformed in him, and the faster we get our mission done, the quicker we get to be with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's right. So I want to go back to our verse. Our first verse, Matthew 28, 18 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Right? Because we've gone over the where and the why. Now we need to discuss how are we able to go? How are we able to go? Do we have all that we need? You know, some people, I need an education, I need this, I need that in order to be able to witness to people. I don't talk very well, all the reasons, all the excuses, right? So Matthew 20:18, Jesus is stating that he has been given the authority, right? All the authority has been given. He's establishing his authority to give authority. His authority to give authority. So Jesus is establishing his authority to give authority. So he commissioned them and us to go under his authority to baptize in his name. So therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Right? In his name. That's pretty powerful. We have been given the authority of his name. That's like when I was a kid and my mom would tell me, go tell your brothers and sisters to go clean the basement. I would go tell them, I would try to tell them, I would say, well, go clean the basement. And they'd be like, you don't want it, blah, 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 blah. So I go tell my mom, they're not listening to me. Tell them I said to. So I'd say, mom said clean the basement. All of a sudden, guess what? They clean the basement. Because I came with the authority of my mother, her having my back. If you don't do what I say, you got to talk to mom, right? Jesus did the same thing for us. He gave us the authority of his name. Let that sink in just for a second. That's pretty powerful. Think about, now just think about in a smaller context. Let's just say that you can go in the name of the President of the United States. You have the authority to use his name. That's pretty powerful, right? Think of the things you could do. Think of all the power the President has. Now think, you have the authority to use the name of Jesus. All the authority that has given you. That's quite a bit. That's a lot. Right? He gave us a lot. So when you go, I don't have, I don't think I can, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. He's given us his authority. That's pretty powerful. So Mark 16 through 17 says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And then when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up to heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. We have been given an immensely sized mission, so this requires massive authority. Not only did he give us this authority, he also said he is with us. He has our back, right? He said he's with us to the end of the ages. It's like me going to tell my brothers and sisters to clean the basement. My mom's standing right behind me, right? It's the same thing. It's going to get done. It's the same thing. And I think we just, I don't know what it is. I think the enemy encourages us to settle for such a little tiny thing. God has given us everything we need to reach everyone for the lost. So when we become believers, we are given the Holy Spirit who resides within us and gives us power to live the holy life and empowers us to love others, whether it be praying for them to be healed and made whole or by meeting their daily needs of food and clothing. His Spirit also empowers us and has equipped us to make disciples. Now, Ephesians 2:10, this is my dad's favorite verse, Tony knows it by heart, says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." So this is the best part. Not only does he empower us and give us, empower us to use his name and the authority that he's given us and fill us with the Spirit, he also prepares everything in advance for us to do. He's already gone ahead and prepared people's hearts. He's already gone ahead and do all these things, right? So why do we get so worked up and anxious? What is these lies that we're believing that says we can't do this? He's given us all the power, all the authority that we need. He's made us whole. He's filled us with the Spirit. And he went ahead and did everything ahead of us. It's like, okay, here you go. And we're still like, I can't. I don't know. I'm just stressed out. I just can't. I'm guilty of this big time. I don't have what I need. I can't. God's like, it's all ready for you. It's right here. I'm already there. It's right there. It's like, okay. So we need to be excited and encouraged and impassioned and most of all, honored that he would choose to use us for his purposes. What an honor. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need us to do this. But he wants us to be able to participate in the blessing of blessing others. Amen. Just like when I have my niece help me with something, I don't need her help, right? Do I need a 5-year-old's help with something? No. But I want her to participate with me to do it. That's the same thing with God. He doesn't need us to do all this. He wants us to participate with him. Desires this unity, desires this friendship, he desires this partnership with us. So in closing, so if you're excited and desire God to fill you to overflow with his Holy Spirit, so you can go out from here and start today, doesn't have to be tomorrow or the next day, start today. I encourage you to come forward for prayer when we have prayer at the end. Now, if the words that God commanded us to do, and you're not fully in, if you're not fully in, like you're half in, like, I don't know, man, I just don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I have what I need. You're just kind of like on the fence. I encourage you to come and ask God to push you over the other side. To push you over the other side. Go, hey, to be fully in. To be fully in what God has. Or if you're just not quite sure you're ready for Christ's return, and you're just kind of like, I don't know, I still have a lot of life to live. I have a lot of things to do. I don't know if I really want Christ to come back. I encourage you to come forward and ask for prayer and say, God, give me the desire to want to be with you. He will do that. He will do that. Or if you're not a believer at all, and you want to be a part of this awesome mission and purpose, and you want purpose in your life, and you're wandering around life going, I have no hope. I have no reason for being. I want to encourage you that you have a purpose and a plan that is for your life, and you can be a part of this amazing family and have Christ come into your life and make you whole and change your life so that you can go and change other people's lives. I encourage you to come forward and pray with us. We're going to take communion together because you guys have been commanded by the greatest commander to reach the lost and broken world, to usher in the return of our King. He has fully equipped you with the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority of his name to make disciples and participate in people's lives being transformed. What a powerful calling that gives me such honor that he would choose to use me, to have me participate in such an amazing thing. And as we prepare to take communion together, when we take communion, we're just going to meet with Jesus. We're going to meet with Jesus before we can go and do everything we need to do. Spend that extravagant time with him. Let's take this time today on this Sunday before we go out in our week and all the things we have going on to spend it with Christ. To remember who he is and what he has done. And not only are we taking it for ourselves, but we're taking it in community. We're taking it with one another. We need each other. That's why it's called communion. Community, right? So as Sarah plays, I would encourage you just to come up and grab the emblems, and I want you to sit down, and I want you to just pray in your hearts and ask God to come and be with you and come and fill you and come and heal you. And once you're done with communion, we're going to go ahead and close with a worship song. And if you need prayer, I would encourage you to come forward, and we'll have people come up and pray with you. I'll make myself available for prayer so that God can give you the things that you need to go out and be the person he's called you to be. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We just thank you for all that you did to make it possible for us to be able to be with you. That you desired us so much that you're willing to send your son to die on a cross so that we can be in your presence, God. And God, as we take this emblem together as a family, as we break bread together as a family, God, that you would knit our hearts together. That we realize that we have a team that we can lean on, so we're not out doing this mission on our own. I pray for your Holy Spirit to come and fill us. Fill us to overflow. So that people will ask us, what is our hope? We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.